Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Welcome back to another post-game Head of the Pack. Packers 28, Bears 19. As much as things have changed for the worse this season in Green Bay, Bill, one thing always remains the same. Aaron Rodgers and the Packers beating the Chicago Bears. They've won 8 in a row. For the first time, they now own the most wins all-time in NFL history for a franchise. 787 over the Bears, 786. I believe Rodgers is 24-5 against the Bears all time. He wasn't his typical Rodgers self against the Bears, I would say, today, but he got some great contributions from his supporting cast. Christian Watson with his 7th and 8th touchdowns in the last 4 games. A.J. Dillon over 5 yards a carry, 119 total yards and a touchdown. Timely interceptions from Jair Alexander and Keyshawn Nixon. Forced fumble from Rasul Douglas, blocked field goal from Dean Lowry. Sure, it was ugly. Packers were down 13 in the first half, down 9 entering the fourth quarter, but they found a way to win. It's against the Bears. Packers are a bad team, but Bears are worse. They did what they had to do. Will it change much in terms of playoff picture? According to our model, run by Austin Mock, who's a sports modeling guru for us, it raised the Packers' chances to make the playoffs from 6% entering this weekend to 11.5%. So you're telling me there's still a chance?
Matt, there's no chance. I mean, look, the Bears, there's a song that says the Bears still suck, and they do. I mean, look, they didn't have 4/5 of their starting secondary, both starting safeties, and their 2 corners who go opposite of Jalen Johnson. That's 4/5. They traded away Roquan Smith. They traded away Robert Quinn. Their top receiver, Darnell Mooney, didn't play. Their number 2 running back, who I think is like 3rd in the league in yards per carry, he's an injured reserve too. The Packers are +3 in turnovers. And with all of that, they needed Christian Watson to score with 2 minutes to go to win the game.
Why do you always to be so negative, Bill? Why do you always have to be so negative?
Because, I don't know, Debbie Downer.
The chickens get out of the coop?
I gotta hope not. They freeze their asses off.
Who's shitting your cornflakes, Bill?
Look, I mean, look, we all know it, right? I mean, the Bears aren't any good. I think we have smart listeners, some smart readers. I mean, they know. I mean, was it exciting for Joe Packer fan to watch this? Yeah, I'm sure it was. Also, probably while grumbling, oh no, the top 10 draft pick. But man, I'll tell you what. Matt, if nothing else happens this year, Christian Watson is unbelievable. I mean, I don't want to put the guy in the Hall of Fame, but holy shit. The guy is – I asked him today if he felt unstoppable. I want to go back when Adrian Peterson was rolling at the Metrodome all those years ago. He was the one guy, like, every single time he got the ball, you thought he might score. I'm not saying Christian Watson's to that level, but he's like – it's like every game – you expect something great to happen now. He is unbelievable. That 46-yard touchdown, I'm going off on a tangent now. The guy he outran ran a 4.34 at Pro Day. And Watson, it was like a draft horse against a Clydesdale. I mean, it was like a thoroughbred against a draft horse. It was unbelievable. So you got that. So there's positivity, Matt.
Thank you, Bill. I appreciate that. We're only positive on this here podcast. No, I'm just kidding. It is important to sprinkle in a dose of reality. Are the Packers going to make the playoffs? Probably not. They're going to need not only to win out, but probably a lot of help. They have the bye week, then the Rams at home. The Rams are terrible. Matthew Stafford's out for the season. Then they are at the Dolphins. Vikings at home, Lions at home. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. Going on that Christian Watson note, Next Gen Stats had a really neat stat earlier today. I'm just trying to find it. Here it is. Christian Watson reached a top speed of 21.72 miles per hour on his 46-yard touchdown run, tying DeSean Jackson for the fastest speed by a wide receiver this season. Watson has reached 20-plus miles per hour on 6 of 30 offensive touches this season, 20%, the highest rate in the NFL of anyone with a minimum of 10 touches. That's crazy.
Not surprising. I mean, again, on that jet sweep, it was, I mean, Sammy Watkins had that block and his index finger's up celebrating, and Watson's at the 40. It's like everybody knows he's gone. It's unbelievable how fast he is. And there's stopwatch time, which he's obviously got. But, I mean, once he gets going and those legs get going, whew. I go back to what Steno said after the – I think it was after the draft, or maybe it was during OTAs, and he said that Watson, once he figures it out, is going to be a problem.
I think he's figured it out, Bill.
Yeah, I think so.
And listen, he's more than just – because we've watched Marquez Valdes-Scantling for the past couple seasons, and he was the four catches for 120 yards and two touchdowns every six games kind of guy. Mm-hmm. Really, we kept hearing about how he could run all the routes, he could do everything. He was really only a take the top off the defense kind of guy. Although Christian Watson's numbers indicate he's the same, I think he's a lot more.
Yes.
He seems to be capable of doing more of the short, intermediate, underneath stuff. MVS did not factor in the run game. Watson now has two touchdowns this season on end arounds. He's just a more complete player. Not to mention he's only a rookie. There are two players in the NFL that are wide receivers with more total touchdowns than Christian Watson: Devontae Adams and Stephon Diggs. Christian Watson is tied for third with AJ Brown among wide receivers with total touchdowns with 9. And Watson didn't even have a touchdown catch until week 10. That's insane.
I don't think he played, other than I think week 1 against Minnesota, I don't think he played half the snaps until these last four games when he finally got healthy and all that. I mean, considering all the playing time that he lost because of the hamstring and the concussion and the potential concussion. I know Rodgers didn't want to talk about it and really neither did Watson, but like Rob Domofsky asked them, what could this team have been had he been out there playing at this level for 13 games?
Man.
Great players win games, Matt. He might not be great yet, but man, it's hard to coach what he can do. It's impossible to coach what he can do, never mind hard.
You know, I would argue that he is great already. He has 8 touchdowns in the last 4 games. This is like an unheard of stretch, at least in my time here. Obviously, I've only been here 4 years. Kind of parlaying off that, I thought something Aaron Rodgers said today was very interesting. Jim Polzin, our buddy Jim from the Wisconsin State Journal, asked him if Watson's rise, I'm paraphrasing here, if Watson's rise will play a role or factor into Rodgers' decision to return next season. And here's what Rodgers said. Yeah, I mean, I left Cal and I could have come back with DeSean Jackson at receiver and Marshawn Lynch in the backfield. I don't regret it because things have turned out pretty well, but that would have been interesting playing with those two guys. Played with Marshawn for a year. But I think there's a typo in here with whoever transcribed this. Rob Reichel. Come on, Rob. But he basically said, the way Christian's developed, definitely have to feel good about the organization. I think he left out about the Rodgers did with his development. This is real rough, my reading of this. It's a rapid, wild development, and it's hard to think about another player who goes from being kind of a here and there, minimal production to go-to type player, home run player. I mean, he had 60-plus yard touchdowns, it seems like. Last week, catch and run on a short one and end around. Pretty special. So it'll all factor into it, but there's got to be mutual desire on both sides. Rodgers just threw that in there at the end.
Yeah, that was something. I'm actually writing about that after the podcast.
There's got to be mutual desire on both sides. He's talking about himself, not Christian Watson. And this is how I interpreted that, Bill. I interpreted that to say Rodgers wants to come back. He doesn't know if the team will want him back.
Mm-hmm.
You would agree?
There's no way to read into it.
It's fascinating. I think he understands that, listen, he has 58.3 million reasons to play next season. I don't think he's going to retire, as we've talked about, even though money is not the be-all end-all with him. But I think there's an inkling of him that says, okay, maybe Jordan Love's finally ready. The organization might feel the same with how I've played this year, my contract. Maybe they try to trade me to another team. But then again, trading him is almost financially impossible. So I still think Rodgers is the starting quarterback. We've said it on this podcast before. He runs this organization, whether you agree or not, not literally, but figuratively. And I think he will be back as the starting quarterback next year. And not to get too far ahead of ourselves, but I think they declined the fifth-year option on Jordan Love. And if Rodgers wants to keep playing in 2024, they do that and let Jordan Love sign elsewhere in free agency or re-sign him for cheap. Or if Rodgers only plays one more year, they then re-sign Jordan Love in free agency in 2024.
Well, they got some hard decisions coming up. With that, Matt, it was interesting going back to what he said previously about, I mean, he mentioned it at his locker on Wednesday, and he said it after the game last week, where he's totally okay if the Packers want to shut him down here whenever they're eliminated to go to Jordan Love. So if his future here is tied to whatever they want to do with Love, it is interesting that he's on board with it, and he understands the franchise's predicament. Maybe not the right way to put it, but this is what happens when you draft quarterbacks when you have an MVP on the roster, right? You get all sorts of headaches, but it isn't. I mean, it's a pretty damn good team in theory, Matt. Next year, Dobbs has played good. Figure Lazard's going to be back. Watson looks like a star. Maybe you get a defensive coordinator in here who can put this talent to better use. You're going to end up with a pretty good draft pick, right? Unless they go 7-10 and pick 15th.
Yeah.
But they're going to get a decent draft pick out of this. I mean, these guys could be in, you know, the financial stuff's an issue, but these guys could be pretty dang good. It'd be pretty enticing for a quarterback who seems like he wants to come back.
I think he does. It'll be a fascinating conversation because perhaps for the first time in his career, at least in his eyes, the Packers may not want him as much as he wants them. So we'll see.
I'm sure Goody doesn't want these guys to lose, but it would make things easier, right?
Certainly would.
Lose, and you can go to Jordan Love and see what happens from there. All right, Matt, what else? What else you got in the old docket?
Listen, we've talked about A.J. Dillon on this podcast, not disparagingly, but as in, he's not a feature back. He's not a number one. And yes, the Bears defense is terrible. But I thought, you know, the talk of, I don't know if I should say talk, but I don't know if it's us talking about it or just Packers Twitter that is, you know, filtered into my brain, that he's not great after contact for his size. I thought he was really good today, averaged over 5 yards a carry. And I still think he's a really, really good number two running back. One of the best in the NFL, if not the best. Still think Aaron Jones is the feature guy. Still think they should keep him next year instead of cut him for cap purposes. But I was impressed with what A.J. Dillon did today. Rodgers pointed out, you know, his hands are so good. Goes back to the old talking point of he wasn't asked to catch passes at Boston College. So, you know, people didn't think he could when he came into the league, but he's a very good pass catcher, very good at navigating the open field. He's not the fastest guy, obviously, but he's anticipating adding this dad strength to his arsenal. He told me in the locker room on Friday, he and his wife are expecting their, I don't know if I'm allowed to say exactly when they're expecting their kid, but so I won't. But they're going to be parents soon, relatively soon. And it was funny. AJ did the kind of rocking the baby celebration after his touchdown run. And he said after the game, when I asked him about it, that they were just hoping to have his wife get through the first trimester of her pregnancy okay. And then they were going to announce it. And they had a deal. He was only allowed to do the touchdown celebration, rocking the baby, until they after they announced it. But if he scored three touchdowns in a game before the first trimester was over, he could do the celebration early. He didn't. So today was the first touchdown he scored post-announcement. So that's where that came from. A pretty solid day for Dylan, as I said. 21 touches, 119 yards, and a touchdown. They'll take that from their backup running back any day.
Yeah, you know, it's the same thing we saw against Tennessee in 2020, right? Where he was finally given the marquee role and he took full advantage of it. Maybe he's just not a great number two, right? Maybe he's a guy who really just does need to get rolling with carry after carry, with Aaron Jones missing a fair bit of the first half and quite a bit of the second half. It was up to Dylan to carry the load, and he was really good. He had a bunch of runs, you know, hit after 2 yards, gain five, hit after three, gain six. I mean, that's what you're looking for out of him. I mean, it's been lacking. There's been so many times, and we talked about it in the past, he gets hit for two and he gains three because he's not able to plow forward for any yardage. He gets hit by one, then gets stacked up and driven backward. He was a pile mover today. Got to the edge in that touchdown run, had a couple good open field moves. He's dropped a bunch of passes this year. Was really good again today, too. Again, it's another reason for the quarterback to want to come back, right? Figure out a way to extend Jones to get the cap number down. Go with those two guys again. Pretty good group.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Quick chat about Jaire Alexander. Listen, they pay him $21 million a year. He should not be giving up bombs to Equanimeous St. Brown and N'Keal Harry. He has not played like a $21 million a year corner. He has made errors like that far too often this season that we have not seen him make in seasons past. Listen, I'm not going to sit here and say the money's getting to his head. He's cashing it in. I'm not going to say that. What I will say is, for everyone saying, oh, he shouldn't be talking this much, he shouldn't be celebrating, that's who he is. He's not going to change. Jaire Alexander became great because he's so confident in himself, in part. He's not going to let that confidence die down. Does it come across, you know, perhaps more of the wrong way than if he was doing it after he locked down number one wide receivers? Of course. It looks a little foolish, but that's who he is. And I'm not going to sit here and say this guy's got to change his personality. Even if he gives up 300 receiving yards in a game, he's going to stand there and say he's the best cornerback ever. That's just who he is. So if you're going to sit here and say, oh, he shouldn't be calling Equanimeous St. Brown a scrub for jumping that dig route and intercepting it with the Packers up one in the fourth quarter after what St. Brown did to him earlier in the game, I have news for you. Jair is going to call him a scrub. And he's not going to change. So more power to him for being authentic like that. Does it rub some people the wrong way? Of course. And I don't blame you if it does. But he made the biggest play when it mattered most. Is it concerning that he's playing like he has this year inconsistently with how much they're paying him? Of course. But both things can be true at the same time.
Yeah, I wonder, Matt, what would happen with a new defensive coordinator. I just wonder if maybe there's some guys fed up. I mean, Jair is talking about wanting to play, man. I mean, this isn't like breaking news. I mean, he was good natured about it, talking to Joe Barry and wanting a better plan and being put to use better. And he thought that Joe obliged there at times, but this season has gone so bad for that defense that maybe all these guys need a fresh start. Maybe Jair is just looking to grab some picks, right? Pad the stats, which leads you susceptible to some long ones, but put you in position to make the big play like he did today. So I would wager that a new outlook on his defensive life might help. They'll be fine. He'll be fine. Of all the guys to worry about on the team, I think Jair Alexander would be pretty near the bottom. By the way, as we do this podcast, Matt, the quick aside, Jimmy Garoppolo out for the season. The 49ers, kind of look like the best team in the NFC other than the Eagles, probably better than the Vikings are. So now they're down two quarterbacks. Boy, what a shitty year for the Packers to go in the tank. I guess that was the point of that story.
Yeah. In a year when everyone else besides, you know, one team in the NFC has kind of separated themselves from the pack, Packers are down the drain. But they still have an 11.5% chance. Going off your point, here's another next-gen stats tweet. The Packers played zone coverage on 100% of pass plays in week 13, becoming just the second defense to do so in a game this season.
Yeah, and on that, isn't that probably because you're going against a running quarterback?
Yes.
If you're playing man, you turn your back.
Yep.
And Justin Fields takes off. So that's probably that. I guess I'm okay with that.
Let's take some questions.
All right. Good idea. We have a few.
Someone said Watson reminds them of Randy Moss.
That's not bad. I mean, Randy Moss has the rookie record with 7 consecutive games with a touchdown catch.
Well, Christian Watson has a chance to break that if he does 3 more.
And he's got
4 more.
All right. Well, we kind of got this one from Adam Robillard. Thoughts on Aaron Rodgers' comments about the Packers wanting him back was kind of peculiar. Yes, it was, Adam.
Yeah. Aaron Rodgers knows what he's saying. He has a purpose with everything he says. Maybe he's starting to get an inkling after how Jordan Love played last week that Goody's kind of looking. There's that meme of the guy walking with the girl in the street and he kind of turns away from what is, I think, is his girlfriend and kind of looking at the other girl walking away. And maybe that's how Rodgers feels. He's holding hands with Goody and Goody's kind of starting to look toward Jordan Love in the future a little bit. And maybe this is Rodgers' way of saying, not so fast. I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to want to play here. And he's trying to put it in their minds right now. I'm going to want to stay here. So don't think too far ahead just yet. That's how I took it.
Yeah, exactly. You know, Rodgers wasn't great today, but I admire him for playing today. I know a lot of fans are pissed off about him. There's a lot of fans who want to go see Jordan Love. A lot of people think Rodgers is being selfish for playing. I admire it. This season's toast. Never mind the 11.9% chance, Matt, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. I mean, he knows it. But to want to be out there because you're a competitor, because you want to be out there with your teammates, even with whatever's wrong with his ribs and a broken thumb, which he thinks is almost healed, I admire the guy for doing it. It'd been easy to pack it in, especially on a cold, miserable day in Chicago, and saying, you know what? I'm too sore to play. But he didn't do it. And I think there's too many fans, and maybe it's just the social media fans, who are kind of shitting on the guy for some of this stuff. Anyway.
I hear you. Here's a question from Pearson Correll. Are the defensive woes due to Barry, the scheme, lack of execution, or some terrible combination of those three? Terrible combination of those three. It's not Joe Barry's fault that Equanimeous St. Brown is burning Jair Alexander. It's not Joe Barry's fault that Keyshawn Nixon is whiffing on Justin Fields, or that Quay Walker, you know, totally gets fooled by the fake handoff. Yes, Joe Barry is at fault. Anytime a defense underachieves this much, as they have for most of the season, the coordinator is going to get blamed. But these players deserve a lot of blame too. There's a lot of good talent on this team, and they're not performing nearly as well as they should be.
Yeah, it's not him. It wasn't Joe Barry who missed 22 tackles last week. Now, there's plenty of, as I tried to explain to LaFleur and Barry, there's a lot of other issues besides the tackling last week. But that certainly was a problem, and that's not the coach's fault. Look, they could, for all the fans out there who want to drill live tackling in practice, yeah, good luck with that. Which running back do you want to die on Thursday? Jesus.
Yeah, Patrick Taylor.
Yeah,
Patrick. Thank you for sacrificing.
You're up next. I mean, come on, you can't do that. Yeah, like some guy's going to sign to a practice squad. Here's the contract. What do you get for the practice squad? $8,500 a week? We'll give you $8,500 a week to get the living crap kicked out of you for this week. And if you can survive until next week, we'll pay you again. Lucas Nels. The offense looked okay. When Romeo gets back, can we expect 28-plus a game with either quarterback?
I don't know about that. But
what are your expectations, Matt? Let's put Dobbs and Watson out there, which we haven't seen. What are your expectations going down the stretch?
Well, Dobbs is going to return after the bye against the Rams on Monday Night Football. I don't know how fresh he'll be. He hasn't played since week 9. Listen, it might take more than the 4 games they have remaining to really get Watson and Dobbs to their full potential playing together. And that's fine. I think outside of clinging onto the chances they have, however faint, of making the playoffs, the thing Packer fans can find the most hope in is what Dobbs and Watson have shown, albeit separately, at different times this season, and look forward to next season with that. I don't see a reason why they can't be a top 5 1-2 punch at wide receiver in the NFL in the next 2 years.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's too far-fetched to say.
No, I don't think so. Because Watson's so damn good, and because he's so damn good, obviously, it's different than Davante Adams, because they have different skill sets, but Davante made life easier for everybody else. And that's what Watson's going to do. He's going to make life easier for everybody else. And Romeo Dobbs has proven to be pretty good. So you run those two out together, I think they got a chance to be really good.
Certainly. Let's see. From at Debean One, guy's name is just Joe. Zach Tom, best left tackle ever? No, but Rodgers said he thought the offensive line played really good today. David Bakhtiari, guy can't catch a break, has to undergo an appendectomy on Friday, doesn't play on Sunday. Don't believe he made the trip. He was tweeting during the game, so I would imagine he was watching at home. And Rodgers said he hit the ground only once. Said it was a dream game for a guy with bruised ribs. I thought, yes, Rodgers moved around a bit today. He was pretty mobile for a guy with those bruised ribs. But I thought the offensive line played well. Someone else asked what they do with Bakhtiari next season. The last two seasons have proven the Packers don't need him to win. Granted, I think they would have won the Super Bowl. Maybe back-to-back Super Bowls. Super Bowl in 2020 with. When they lost to Tampa, I think they would have won the Super Bowl that year if Bakhtiari was healthy. And don't get me wrong, he is playing near an all-pro level this year when healthy. But do the Packers think they can rely on him week in and week out to stay healthy with the knee I'm talking about, not his appendix? That's a question that they might not even know the answer to, the Packers, that is. they can make do with Yosh Nijman or Zach Tom at left tackle, and cutting Bakhtiari would free up cap space. But I don't think you cut an all pro caliber player just because it'll free up a couple million dollars.
Yeah, I'd agree. And you're right. We don't know the answer to this, but when did he have that last surgery? It was in the spring at some point. Will he be markedly better 12 months, 15 months, 18 months after that third surgery? Or is his knee permanently effed? To not use the other word. And that's what we don't know, right? Is the long-term status of it. Was that third operation the charm? He'll be able to rehab it and strengthen it up during this coming offseason to be back to semi-vintage form and a reliable 17-game starter next year, or is this just the way it is? I guess we don't know the answer. I guess we're going to bring Rod if they decide to bring Rodgers back, and if Rodgers wants to come back, you might as well bring the left tackle back too. Zach Towns got an awful lot of value playing here, there, and everywhere.
Yes, he does. All right, we got one more question on tap.
A couple of Jordan Love questions about him playing on Monday night against the Rams. I would think, let's see what happens next week with the playoff picture. I would say is the answer to that.
Yeah, I don't know how the Packers could go from 11.5% or whatever our model has it at to 0%. And I believe Rodgers will play as long as they have a mathematical chance to win out. So I would not expect to see Jordan Love next week or in 2 weeks when they play again.
Nor would I. Interesting one from Scottish Packers fan. There's no answer to this, obviously, without having exhaustive research. If the Packers beat the Vikings, will this be the best possible bad season? You beat Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, and the Cowboys, and then one win over the Vikings. It's an interesting question. I don't have an answer for you, but it does show, and Rodgers got into this a bit today, that when they play well, these guys are pretty good. They've shown in spurts.
They certainly are. I think if they play up to their potential, they can beat a lot of teams in this league. I mean, the Eagles have the best record, and the Packers damn near almost beat them. So it's going to be a lot of what ifs. What if Watson played all year and stayed healthy? What if, you know, a couple guys on the defense didn't get hurt? What if this? What if that? But guess what? Every team can play the what if game, Bill.
Absolutely. Here's one here from not Nick Murray. Where does Christian Watson go in a redraft? And this follow-up to this would be, what NFL wideout does Christian Watson compare to the best? The redraft one is interesting, though, because there were six receivers taken in the top 20 picks. Obviously, Watson not among them. So everyone's watching the draft, including me, thinking, there go all the receivers. There go all the receivers. And maybe they'll end up with the best one. Funny how things work out, eh?
Yeah. Funny how things work out is right. We'll see if Watson continues on his streak. Quick prediction. Does he score a touchdown against the Rams in 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Yeah, I say yes. There's no reason to say no anymore.
No, absolutely not. There's no reason to say no. Man, he's just so good. At some point, they'll free him up against some lesser guy, and he's going to beat him. And we've seen him with the running plays, the passing plays. They found ways to get him involved. So, yes.
I agree. Maybe he finishes the season with like 15 touchdown catches. Who knows?
He's got 9 total now, right?
9 total touchdowns. 15 total touchdowns is not out of the question. And he had 1 entering week 10.
Pretty amazing.
Pretty amazing is right. Well, that's a good note to end it on with the best player in the NFL, Christian Watson. We'll have a bye week episode for you. We are scheduled to talk to General Manager Brian Gutekunst sometime this week during the bye. That'll be interesting as always. Maybe light on stories this week, at least for me. Bill's never light on stories with the bye week and then a long week before they play the Rams. Not tomorrow night, not the following Monday night, but the next Monday night. at Lambeau Field. John Wolford versus Aaron Rodgers. That one should be fun. Two teams vastly underachieving this year. Anyway.
ESPN's got to be thrilled. Sorry, Robert. Austin.
Yeah, the ESPN's got to be thrilled that the Packers-Rams matchup they scheduled for their network early this offseason is now a matchup between, 3-9 versus 5-8?
Yeah, good stuff.
Ugh. All right. We'll catch you guys later. Thanks for listening, as always, and sending in great questions. We appreciate you.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.